So my name is Ariana Hout. Mm-hmm. I'm 37 years old. Today is September 8th, 2018, and we're in Los Angeles. And I'm interviewing my mom, Judith Hout.
And you wanted me to talk about how I met Dad.
Why don't you introduce yourself first?
My name is Judith Hout, H-A-U-T. I am 68 years old. Today is September 8th, 2018. We are actually sitting in a mock-up of an Airstream trailer at the Annenberg Space for Photography. And my daughter has asked me to tell the story about how I met my husband, her father.
Mm-hmm. So I actually want to start. Do you remember the date that you met him?
It was the second day of classes in the fall quarter, 1971, at Berkeley. I believe it was a Thursday, because I think it was a Tuesday-Thursday class.
Mm-hmm. And were you... That was very precise. Were you dating anybody?
Nope. And that was the problem. It had been a long summer, and I had actually gone to class on that day, the second day of this wonderful class on Introduction to Folklore, taught by the amazing Alan Dundas. And I went to class specifically with the idea in mind that I was going to meet somebody that day, so I dressed up.
You used to tell the story and say, I went to class looking for a man.
Yeah.
What you dressed up, what were you wearing?
Oh, my gosh. I had blue bell-bottoms, and I had a long-sleeve paisley shirt that laced up the front, which your dad insists I didn't lace up all the way, but he's lying.
How laced up was it?
It was laced up.
What color paisley was it?
Dark background with bright paisley. Tiny paisley.
And where, I know you were at Berkeley, but where specifically were you? Do you remember the room?
Oh, yeah.
Room?
This, mm-hmm. This was in Duenel in, Dad remembers the room number. I think it's 124 Duenel, or it might be 142 Duenel. Darn it.
So something in Duenel.
Yeah.
So what did you do?
Okay, this was a huge lecture hall. The class had 300 students. So I got to class a little bit early, and I walked to the bottom of the lecture hall, stood near the podium, and I scanned the rows as people were walking in and settling down. And in the middle section, maybe eight rows up, I saw a student who looked older than all the other students. He had big mutton chops, hair pulled back in a ponytail. He was sitting cross-legged, so I could see that he had on sort of like maroon corduroy pants. He had on a Western cream color shirt with black overstitching. Some of that I didn't see till I sat next to him. And cowboy boots. But I did think to myself, okay, he looks different than anyone else. Mm-hmm. So I tromped right up, sort of walked over a couple people. There was an empty seat next to him, and I sat down. And I said, hi. And then I looked at his face, and I said, has anyone ever told you you look just like the Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz? And he leaned back for me a little bit, looked at me, and he said, well, I played the Cowardly Lion in a high school play. And that was our opening ploy with each other.
Yeah.
And I do remember somewhere in that first day, we also talked about what our favorite books were.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that he reread Catch-22 and Huckleberry Finn every single year.
What did you think about that?
Oh, I was real impressed. I was really impressed. This was a smart person. And he was older. I mean, he'd been away from college.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been in the Army. He'd come back to Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we met. I should also tell you, I asked him out on our first date.
That's what I was going to ask. So at the end of class was an hour or an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys presumably took notes because it was class.
Took copious notes.
Right, you need to. So you had to impress each other by taking copious notes. Did you, what happened at the end of class? Did you exchange phone numbers?
No.
Did you just leave and then see him again the next time?
I just left, but we sat together again the next class session. And we sat together again the next class session. And eventually, I think we went to the library one day. We were studying for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I passed him a note in the library saying, do you want to come to my apartment for dinner? And unlike most other college young men who would say, oh, yes, feed me, he sends back a note, says, depends, what are you making?
Which is so dad, right?
It is. What did you make?
Well, I said to him, I have a chuck roast and some, he said, do you have potatoes? I said, yeah. He came to my apartment and he sat me down. He said, where's your knife? Where's your this? Where's your that? He made the whole dinner, which of course was amazing. But then I thought, uh-oh, I can't cook for him. That only leaves one other thing. He was the best cook I'd ever met. And that's the tenor of our whole relationship. He cooked for me. Mm-hmm. I married him because he fed me.
Now, you were taking the class because you were a folklore major.
Not yet.
Oh, you weren't yet.
I was an English major at Berkeley, and I had finished the entire major, and I was sort of bored.
Was this your junior year?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I had tried to get into a children's literature class, but the class was only for graduate students. I said, but I finished the entire undergrad English major. So the professor, the woman, that professor said, take Alan Dundas's class. And I walked into that class, and at the end of that first day of class, I knew I was going to add a minor. Mm. And in fact, I did. I added a minor in folklore, and eventually, as you know, went to graduate school in folklore. Mm-hmm. But that class was also significant, and that's where I met Dad.
Why was Dad taking the class?
You know, I should ask him that. I don't remember. He had been away from school for 5 years. He'd come back.
5 years?
5 years. Because he spent 4 years in the Army.
Right.
And he had come back, and he just was interested in everything. I think he was taking 22 units that quarter.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, really bright guy.
Did you ever tell Alan Dundas the story? Did he know?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
We invited him to our wedding.
Did he come?
He couldn't come, but he sent us I remember it was a casserole. I don't think he bought it for us. But he absolutely knew we met in his class. Yeah. He watched us. He thought it was hilarious. He'd watch when we'd sit together. He noticed when we sat apart. We took, you know, two classes in a row from Alan Dundas.
Yeah,
he knew that.
What do you think would have happened if you had sat down next to somebody else, or if the seat next to Dad had been filled?
Who knows? That's a hypothetical.
Yeah.
I don't deal in hypotheticals. That's a joke.
No. You asked Dad out on your first date to cook.
Uh-huh. We only had a few dates before we started living together. But we didn't live together for almost a year. Mm-hmm. But I think our first, date, we went to see a play in San Francisco, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Right.
And we split the cost of the theater, we split the cost of going out to dinner, and we split the cost of the bridge toll.
Who drove?
Oh, he drove. I didn't own a car.
Okay.
I was poor. He had a car.
So did you think he was serious, or did you think the splitting stuff was just...
Oh, no, that was my idea.
Oh, good.
That was my idea. I was a feminist. Men aren't going to pay for me to go on a date. That's not correct.
Well, but a date is typically when someone asks someone else out.
That's okay.
Right? And the date part of it is the person doing the asking does the treating.
Nope.
No? Okay.
Nope. Not in my world.
And you saw the Scarlet Pimpernel, right?
We did. That was another one of our dates. We went to see the Scarlet Pimpernel.
We chase him here.
We chase him there. We Frenchies chase him everywhere. Seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven, or is he in that damned, elusive Pimpernel?
And then finally, so you moved in together. And who proposed to whom?
Okay, the first time I proposed to him, I said to him... Oh, wait, first I have to back up. I once asked him how he felt about me sitting down next to him and asking him out on a date. And he said, why don't more women do this? I said, I don't know, they're stupid. But I've always, it just didn't make sense to me to be that passive. So when we started talking about marriage, we were living together. And in that tiny little apartment on the border between Berkeley and Oakland. And I said to him, if you ask me to marry you, I'll buy you a present. And Dad, again, in typical Dad fashion, says, what will you buy me?
What were you going to buy him?
Oh, a pipe. Because he still smoked in those days, and I hated cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
And in fact, I told him I wouldn't marry him unless he quit smoking.
Mm-hmm. But you're still going to buy him a pipe.
Yeah, because I thought a pipe is like a transition away from smoking,
yeah,
maybe.
Makes sense, yeah.
And then he said, give me a few days to think about it. And then he proposed, he asked me to marry him. Uh-huh. In fact, it was the night before a big midterm I had in California history, and I called the professor the next morning and said, I really can't take the midterm. I've been up all night. My boyfriend just proposed. And they let me take it 2 days later.
Well, that was nice.
Drop my earphones.
Yeah. I never knew that part of the story. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then you got married in 1973. And
1973.
You've been married for 45 mm-hmm. years now.
And I really should say his name, because I don't normally refer to Bob as Dad.
Right.
It's just that I'm sitting here with my daughter, and so that, you know, that's the way I refer to him in right. front of my kids.
Right. No, you call him by his name.
Yeah, I call him by his name.
What's his name?
Bob Hout.
Yeah. What advice do you have to people who are trying to find their spouse?
Sit down next to somebody. Say hello. Strike up a conversation.
And what advice do you have for people after 45 years of being married?
It's really nice. I'm lucky. And I think he's lucky.
I think he thinks he's lucky, too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.